Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your host, admirable, exemplary, exquisite, distinguished, accomplished, superlative, transcendent, distinctive, incomparable, magnificent, paradigmatic, pulchritudinous,
Philandus.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
I'm introducing the radio show.
No, with that accent and those words.
I just thought it would sound good if we spruced it up a little.
If we what? It's 8:30. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to get this show on the road.
It's the Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your hosts, Philandus Harris
and Tamika Sanders. Relentless Pursuit is a faith-based, young adult radio talk show created to bridge the gap between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We discuss controversial issues that directly hinder the millennial generation from pursuing their God-given purpose.
We want to showcase young adults who are relentlessly pursuing God and their passions in the form of ministry, entrepreneurship, and through their gifts and talents.
Our goal is to equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult them into their divine destiny.
It's a relentless pursuit. Good evening, everybody. We just want to thank you all again for tuning in to another week of Relentless Pursuit. This is Philandus, and I have my co-host here, too. And, of course, y'all know her as Tamika. And we also just want to give a special thanks to our network owner, Coach D. And tonight, we're going to have a pretty awesome, powerful show. We'll be showcasing somebody who I think is just an amazing example of what it means to be a forerunner in the millennial generation of pursuing your dreams and your passions. And I just want to start off with the word of prayer before we get into the show. And so if everybody can clear their hearts and their minds, and we could just go ahead. And so, Lord, we just thank you tonight for this show. We thank you for giving us a platform to glorify your name and to give hope to people, give peace to people, and bring healing into the lives of the people that listen in. And I just ask that you would be in the midst of the conversation tonight and somebody would be filled with hope and encouragement, and even somebody would come to know what their purpose is and what you have for them. And we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do tonight. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I just want to go ahead and jump right in, introduce our special guest tonight. And so for the past 15 years, Orlando Valentino has worked to make his mark in the film and television industry as an actor, director, and screenwriter. Motivated by his faith and blessed with the strength to overcome any obstacle along his journey, his personal mission is to entertain, create, and inspire others to pursue their dreams. Orlando is most excited about his recent lead role as Carlos Allen in the current film featured called Carter High, where he starred alongside an actor you may know as Pooch Hall, Charles S. Dutton, David Banner, and Vivica A. Fox. Growing up in Fort Worth, Texas, Orlando began his work in the fine arts field, like many in the church, as a young teen. Orlando was lead in numerous plays and worked behind the scenes, assisting in production. His performances in local area productions led to an award for Best Drama Solo at the Fine Arts Festival North Texas District. Orlando's radio and commercial resume includes work with Cinemark Theaters, Radio Disney, and 91.5 KGRM. As Orlando began his collegiate studies at Grambling State University in Louisiana, he still found time to act as a youth drama director at Bishop T.D. Jakes, the Potter House Ministry in Dallas, Texas. During his time at the Potter's House, Orlando has entertained thousands in a plethora of skits and on the media and production team for a number of conferences and events, up to and including 2013 MegaFest. At GSU, Orlando was a member of NABJ, the National Association of Black Journalists, and the world-famed Tiger Marching Band, performing for thousands across the U.S., while still balancing his budding acting career in campus theatrical performances. Some of his key acting roles at GSU included Emmett Till in The Story of Emmett Till, Jason in Medea by Euripides, and Walter Lee in To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. And so it's my pleasure to introduce to some of you and to present to others Orlando Valentino of Fort Worth, Texas. Orlando, are you there? Can you introduce yourself to listeners?
Hey, everybody. Yes, this is Orlando Valentino. Thank you so much for that marvelous introduction. I'm honored to be here with you all.
That's great. Yeah, I'm glad to have you on the show. It's an honor to not just know you personally, but to just see somebody who I can relate with, because we're in the same age group. And not only have you pursued your dreams and you've pursued your talents and your gifts and your passions, but also you found so much success already in doing those. And so it's really encouraging to be just to be in contact with you, to see you and your career taking off is really an honor. And, I just want to thank you again for taking the time out, your busy schedule, to be on the show and talk to our listeners tonight.
Yes. Wow. Thank you.
Believe it or not, when I was getting ready to go to college and high school, I wanted to go to school for journalism, and I was of the National Association for Black Journalists in Ohio, in Cleveland. So I kind of forgot about that until, you know, I saw your bio, and I'm like, hey, they had a chapter in Ohio that I was a part of.
I was a part of
workshops, but I remember being a part of the National Black. And I never, when I went to college, actually ended up changing my major to marketing, because it was just way too much writing and journalism. I wanted to be a news reporter, and I didn't realize, I guess, you know, at that age, you only see the end result. You see the person on TV reporting the news. You don't see all of the handiwork behind the scenes that go into that, and especially the degree goes into it. So I switched to marketing, but you couldn't tell me at that age I wasn't going to be a news reporter, because everything – I walked around with a tape recorder and a notepad. Like,
oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's big.
And, you know,
oh, wow.
Y'all are reminding me of something that I forgot about. Like, in middle and high school, I wasn't necessarily aspiring to be a news reporter or even a radio personality, but I did like to write. And so when I first started my college career at Eastern Michigan University, I started off as a journalism major. And like Tamika, man, when I saw how much writing intensive courses were required, how many classes you had to take, I was like, yeah, not really. And so
I
switched my major a few times. I was like a psych major and then something else too, but then I ended up just going into communication. So I think that's really cool that we all have that in common.
That's really dope. Seriously, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you're great at it. You're the perfect you have the perfect personality, the perfect energy for everything that you do. So yeah, that's right up your alley.
Thank you so much. Seriously, you guys try to make me blush over here.
That's funny. And so, well, since we got a little bit of the monotony broken up, I just want to start off with the question that it probably seems cliche, and people may ask you this often, but I just want to know, like, right off back, how would you define acting? From your personal opinion, like a lot of times when we hear about actors and we think about the idea of acting, there's kind of like a universal thing that tends to come to people's minds. They think of movies, they think of plays, they think of pretending. But in your personal opinion as an actor, what does acting mean to you?
That's a lovely question. That's an excellent question. To me personally, I feel that acting is not even the title of its own. I feel like acting is you portraying the character that just happens to be on this piece of paper that is just happens to be called a script. Because the fact of the matter is, the reason why it's more portraying a character is because in real life, we are all characters. And that's the reason why when people see movies, when they see television shows, and when they go watch a theater, a stage play, or even just a simple commercial, there is somebody that they see that they say, you know what, I can relate to that character because I'm a character,
yeah,
just like that person.
Yeah.
So therefore, when I'm watching this person on the screen or I'm watching them on stage or on TV or whatever, I am watching me on this screen. So therefore, our job as actors and actresses is not to act. It's not to just say lines and get a check. Is to portray the characters that already exist in this earth, on this earth, I mean. And that's what that means to me.
Wow. That's I've never heard that before. That is really good.
I never thought of that. Because it is. You
right.
really are. Okay, because one, you know, that's the best, the only way, I think, to really engage the audience, because it's something realistic. It's something that they can relate to. It's maybe something that they've been through or watched somebody else go through, or it may be them. You know, they look and they
exactly.
say, I do that same exact thing. I act like that too. And so I think, you know, really to engage the audience and to capture their hearts and attention, that is probably the best definition I've ever heard.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's almost like while you were talking and you said, you're portraying a character, but keeping in mind that you're a character yourself. Like, that kind of just reminds me of the idea of having, like, as an actor or an actress, you just have a responsibility to kind of like temporarily become the character that you're trying to portray. Because if you
exactly.
merely imitate it, chances are people can tell that, that is not real. Like, I like to watch movies, I like to watch plays where I'm really convinced for however long, if the movie is 2 hours, I'm really convinced for those 2 hours that that person is who they're portraying themselves to be.
Right.
And I think that's what makes a great actor, someone who can actually, I don't want to say master, because some people can master, but just be really good at becoming that character. So I think that's a really great definition that you gave there.
Thank you so much. And do you mind if I add something really fast?
Sure.
I just want to add on to that, because, you know, while you were talking, I was like, you know what, that's another point I meant to say. And that's the reason why I feel like being an actor or an actress, I don't care if you're in Hollywood, if you're only on the stage, you're doing local plays, I don't care what level of acting you are doing. You play a large part, like you play a major part, not just in those productions, but in life, in other people's lives. And that's the reason why I feel like actors and actresses, they're the most, they're like the biggest influencers. And it's imperative that they're doing good on camera and off the camera. Because so many people just get emotionally tied in with the character. They get tied in with the actor who's portraying the character. And I feel like acting is a way more huge responsibility than what people really give you credit for and what those who are already in the industry really speak on.
Wow. That's interesting
concept.
Yeah, it really is. It reminds me of a question that I'm probably going to ask later, so I'm just going to put a bookmark there. But yeah, like, you know, I've taken some time to really, every time I see you on the screen, like either if we're at church, I've seen you on the screen, at Megafest and Woman Thou Art Loose, and even when I'm just like watching you live, when you're in different projects at the church, like the Easter play or whatever, I watch you and
production.
I'm like,
and it's production, not play.
Yeah, production, play. I'm sorry.
No, same thing.
Production. That's the professional and correct word to you. So the production that I've watched you and I've watched your work, and every time I see you, I'm like, you know, this. It's like, how can I say? It's, I can tell that there's a difference between you as an actor having a passion for what you're doing and just doing it because you're good at it. And I think there's a distinct difference between doing something because you're good at it and actually knowing you're good at it and having a passion for it. You know, I use the example for myself all the time. You know, I'm pretty good at playing the piano. I'm pretty good at listening to people and giving advice, you know, amongst my friends, both in the past and present. I kind of get teased, and they call me Dr. Phil because people, they feel comfortable with opening up to me about, you know, just their life, stuff that you kind of hold close to your heart, so you don't tell everybody. And I'm great at listening and giving them advice and making them feel like they're valued because they are. But I don't know that I can say at this point in my life yet whether or not I'm passionate about those things. I'm passionate about it in the moment when it comes to the people because there's a need there. And obviously if there's a need, you know, I have the solution. But I can't say like, yes, let me find some people to listen to and advise them and diagnose them and give them whatever they need. I can't say that. So my point in saying all of that is, when I see you doing your thing, when you're acting and you're portraying your character and whatever it is that you're doing, I see that there's a passion there, you know, and it's not just like a, how can I say, like a little embers of flames of passion, but it's like a blazing passion that you have. And so what I want to know is, were you always passionate about acting, or did you just know that you were good at it and you had a gift and there was just like a defining moment where you realized that there was a passion there or that passion was developed? Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. That makes perfect sense. Oh, wow. And I always tear up when I speak on this part right here. I really do. That's the downside of being an actor. You're very well in tune with all kinds of emotions. But yeah, I will never forget, I was 10 years old, and my grandmother was the world. She was just everything. And I will never forget, we were staying with her for a little bit, and before I knew it, December 4th of 2001, she had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just crushed. I was really just crushed, like, seriously. I was only, like, 10. And dealing with that at such a young age, it just was like, wow. So I never will forget, my grandmother, she was always an entertainer as well. She was a poet, singer, all that. And my mother, she used to act on Broadway. So that's always been, you know, in the family. And so, anyways, my grandmother passed away, and we moved to another church. It was a Christ Church, Assemblies of God Church. And this lovely older couple, Caucasian, lovely couple. I mean, they were just awesome because I was the only black kid in the church. And so they came up to me and they said, hey, do you want to join our drama team? It's for fifth and sixth graders. And I'm just like still sad over my grandmother. And I was like, I don't know anything about acting. I'm not even in the fifth grade. And they looked at me and they said, hey, we won't tell anybody if you won't. So before I knew it, I took a couple stabs at it, and for some reason, I was just catching on really quick, like really quick. They'll give me like a certain action to do, or they'll make me watch a video of the type of, you know, small play or whatever we were trying to portray, and I would watch it, and I would just get it. And before I knew it, they were like, you know, you're a natural with acting. But here was the biggest thing that I realized, you know, this was my passion. So, like, about a year or two had passed by, like 2 years had passed by. I'm 12 years old. And I found out, it just dawned on me. I was like, you know what? It was through acting that I was able to really deal with the death of my grandmother. Like, acting was my therapy. Even when I went through whatever stuff I went through growing up, because I was a knucklehead. And whatever I went through, anytime I hit a stage or there was a camera, after I'll be done with that performance, I just felt amazing. And it was by 12 that I realized not only is this thing therapy for me, but I love this. I love this feeling. It's something that's released for me when I'm singing these lines or when I am portraying these characters. I love this thing. It's in my heart. It's saying, what is this thing? And I figure out that thing was called passion. I was like, this is passion. This is that thing that people talk about. This is that thing that makes somebody's heart beat a million times fast when they just simply say the title of it. This is what it is. This is almost like love, like falling in love with somebody that you're about to marry. Like, you're passionate about that person. It takes passion to marry somebody because you spend life with them. So that's why I felt
better
like.
Better be passionate
like,
about it.
You said what?
I said you better be passionate about it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. We can end all this right now. You feel me? You go home. Everybody go home. Pack everything up. But yeah, you know, that's what I found out. By the age of 12, I was like, oh, this is my passion. And I am going to ride this thing on out. So I am old and gray. I started making goals and visions and all of that. And it was at 12 years old that I knew that acting was not only my passion, but it was my therapy. And I knew I wanted to turn this thing into a career.
Wow. That is so good. And you know what? Like, I really like the fact that, you know, somehow it became therapeutic for you. Because it's not easy. You know, I lost my grandmother when I was in high school. And
I'm sorry to hear about that, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm sorry about yours as well.
Thank you.
But, yeah, like, I had never, at that point in my life, I had never lost anybody close to me. Like, I had lost my other grandmother, but I didn't really know her. And I was, like, 5 years old. So by the time this grandmother passed away, you know, I was, like, one of her favorite grandkids. And if any of my families are anybody in my family is listening, I'm sorry, but it's true. Me and her had a special bond. But anyway, I had built a relationship with her. She was, like, a second mom to me. And so when she passed away, it was like, this isn't just a thing where she's just gone on vacation. Like, she's gone forever. Like, I'm never going to see her in this life again. And it's hard to deal with stuff like that. And so I feel like in those times, it's such a huge blessing to find something that can be therapeutic for you that's healthy, because what the therapy or quote unquote therapy that I found was horrible. It was very unhealthy for myself and everybody involved. And by you saying that, that kind of answers the next question that I was going to go into. I was just wondering, like, you know, I was going to ask, like, how do you incorporate your connection to and your relationship with God in your acting? And I feel like bringing you to that place where you realized acting was therapeutic for you and it was like a vehicle of healing for you, that right there, like, speaks to you being connected to God in a way. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. I'll still even go and elaborate on that question. Man, it's so crazy because I started off acting in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I started in the church. And, you know, when you're in the church, you have the opportunity to do productions and things of that nature that have a biblical meaning to it. And when you see the way people just react to it, it's like, oh my goodness. Like, I didn't really realize it until probably, like, I became, like 14 or so, that I realized that this is a God-given gift. And so, therefore, if this is a God-given gift that is inside of me, when I release it, I'm in a way, I'm releasing, like, God's love. I'm releasing God's gifts. I'm releasing God out into other people's spirits. So therefore, yo, this thing is deep. This stuff is real. And who am I to sit here and take credit for this? I can't do this on my own. A human being cannot have this type of impact on people like this on their own. I was like, you know what? This is God. So therefore, after every performance I do, I'm going to tell people, hey, I give all the glory to God. Because my mom taught me that. She said, let me know if you ever take the credit for any of this, because this is something that you didn't just build. You didn't go to classes for this. You didn't go to school for this. This was something that was literally God-given. So therefore, you tell people you give God the glory. Because it's almost like this right here. You know how it goes. When praises go up, blessings come down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine switching it up and just, you know, giving what God has gave to you, but giving it back to Him. Imagine what He'll bring down for you in that field and in that area or in that industry. Imagine if you, every performance you did, you say, God, this gift you gave me, it was made to have an impact on people in a very creative way. Use me. And imagine when you just submit your gift that God gave you back to Him. You're saying, thank you for this. But at the same time, you're saying, God, this isn't mine, so I need you to work things out and make sure everything's a part of your will. And imagine what He will bring down from there on out. And what He brings down is that impact, the people who are crying in the audience, the people who coming up to you just loving the character you played, or they just really laughed and they had a really terrible week. Like, people just don't really look at that, you know? And that's why I look at these actors and actresses in Hollywood, and I have large respect for them. I know a lot of them personally. I have huge respect for them. But it's like, I look at them, I'm like, you guys got to understand that what you have is bigger than you. And I know you don't get that. I know y'all don't get that. But one day y'all will.
Yeah, that's powerful. It's like when you were talking, I got a vision a few years ago that helped me kind of understand the concept of ministering back to God with what He's placed on the inside of you. And the vision was, there was a person who had all of these like gifts in their hands, and they were on their knees before the throne of God. And they had the gifts in their hands, and they were looking at them, and they extended their hands to God, and God gave their hands back to them. So it was just literally like a give and exchange, like, here, God, no, here. Here, God, no, here. Now take it back. Here, God. You get what I'm saying? And I like to think of, I came up with this concept to kind of explain something about worship leaders, but I think it applies across the board. basically, a worship leader is someone that God has given a platform to show the entire world an intimate moment that's going on between them and God.
And wow.
So, yeah, it's like it's not about them. It's not about trying to impress people. Yes, you want to be good at what you're doing, but if the focus is you and God, it's like God is just giving you a platform to show the world an intimate moment between you and him. That's why a lot of times, like Carrie Job, for instance, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with her, but a lot of times,
love
yeah,
Carrie
you
Job.
Hear about at her, you hear about at her concerts, how when she gets to a certain place in worship and people are like still recording and taking pictures, she'll just stop and be like, hey guys, can you just put away your cameras and just focus in on God? And after she says that, she'll just like go in and forget that everybody else is there. And
wow.
And I've been to one of her concerts, and it's almost like how, you know how some worship leaders, it's like they're singing to you songs about God, but Carrie
mm-hmm.
Job concert, she's singing to God the whole time, and you're just there. Either you're going to join in and sing to God with her, or you're just going to watch her look at the sky and sing God in her own. Like, like it's really
right.
It's, you're not watching Carrie Joe perform. She's there to usher in the presence of God, but the whole time it's like you would think that she thought she was in a room by herself in her private worship time. Like, sometimes her back would even be to the audience, not on purpose, but because she's just so lost in the moment, her eyes are closed, and she's just kind of just getting everything that God is giving her in that moment. And it's like, okay, hey, Carrie, we here. We your fans. But she makes it clear, like, you know, y'all not here to see me. I'm here to bring the presence of God. Yes, I'm singing these songs, but I'm here to engage you in an intimate moment of worship with God. So, yeah.
That's
love
so
that.
Amazing. And so it's like I even see that with you, like that same concept. Because specifically, one moment that I want to kind of zero in on that I watched you do, it was during the Easter production at church. And were you playing John the Baptist?
Yes, that was on Good Friday. On Easter, I played J.I.R.
Yeah.
Along with the amazing Heavenly Joy.
Yes. When I watched you play that part, I felt like I was in the Bible times when that was actually
oh, wow.
going on. Like, I really felt like that. And whenever you were describing, you know, just giving what God has given you back to him, it's like literally God is giving you a platform to minister to him in personal, intimate worship, but before other people to be an example. And honestly, I think that's like a principle across the board for both saved and unsaved people that have found success in their career. Like, if they ever come to that revelation, imagine how many lives would be changed because they have such a huge following. You know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
And so.
Come on now.
Yeah, this is awesome. I'm just thinking about that, and just to be in a position that you're in where you have this amazing relationship with God clearly, and his presence is on you. You have this gift, and you use your gift to express your love and your heart to God, and he allows other people to watch it, to learn from it. Like, this is what worship looks like. Worship doesn't just have to be you standing somewhere crying and snotting with your hands lifted up. Your worship could be that you have a gift, you have a voice to speak, you have hands to play an instrument, or you have an administration gift, you're a CEO. Your worship to God is you being excellent at that, or as the old people say, operating in the spirit of excellence, like you being excellent at what God has given you, and executing those gifts is another form of worship.
Wow. Wow.
So,
you're killing it.
No, it's good. I'm just getting these revelations as we're talking. Like, I've never even really thought about all of this stuff before, but I think it's just amazing to look at what you have in that way.
Yes.
And so, yeah, before we go any further, I just want to kind of do an intermission. Anybody that came in late or you just came in, We are doing an interview here with my good friend Orlando Valentino. He is a member at the Potter's House Church with me in Dallas, Texas, where Bishop Jakes is the senior pastor. And he's a screenwriter, he's a director, and he's an actor. He just he had a starring role in the movie Carter High within the last few months. When did that come out? Was it last year at the end of the year?
Yeah, we released like in October in theaters and select cities nationwide. But we are actually getting ready to come out on DVD August 2nd of this year nationwide.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, guys, you hear that. He played in this movie. He had a starring role. He was with Vivica Fox and David Banner, Pooch Hall, any all of those people. I'm sure you've heard their names before. If you haven't, when we get off this call, I need you to Google them and become
right.
But, yeah, we just been having a conversation about, you know, how he became passionate about acting and how he incorporates his connection to God in his acting. And so if you're on the line and you either have a passion for acting, for film or theater, or you know someone who has that passion, I just want you to be encouraged tonight to hear it from the horse's mouth himself, how he maintains that, how he incorporates that, how he maintains his integrity. And that's been the summary of the conversation thus far. And so I kind of want to transition. We've allowed our listeners to kind of get to know who you are as a person and what you value and how you perceive your gift and your calling to act. And so as a Christian, as a pretty handsome man of God, I can say that. And you're
dear.
In this entertainment industry. I'm sure without a shadow of a doubt that there's some struggles that you face or some opportunities that you might be presented with on a regular basis where it kind of puts you in a position where you have to exercise that integrity as a man of God. And so if you're comfortable, you can. But I just want to ask, like, when you face those struggles, if you want to share some of them, what they are, you can. But in the entertainment industry, when you face those struggles or those moments of temptation to, even if it's not like, you know, when people say sin, certain things automatically come to mind, but maybe it's an opportunity to go off on somebody that's disrespecting you, or it's an opportunity where you're real tired one day and somebody walks up to you and they recognize who you are and they're just like starstruck. And the temptation is, oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm just trying to get home, get out my face. Like, even if it's something that when you face struggles, what do you do? Like, how do you overcome them?
I'm sorry. That last one you said, that is relatable. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, Orlando, I saw your movie and I saw the movie I watched it, and you're so cute.
You guys,
oh my God, I have your picture on my screensaver.
You guys. Oh my God. Okay. Perfect impersonation. I love it. So what is going on? what's happening with that is the simple fact of, man, I always remember like who I am in Christ. And I always, not only that, but I always ask myself, is it worth reacting to this in that manner? Like when Carter High came out, and especially when it was on the verge of coming out, I was doing a lot of interviews. I was doing interviews on you know, different news stations, different radio stations that weren't even in Texas, and a lot of great promotions and meeting some really great celebrities and things of that nature. And it's like, you know, you'll check your inbox and you'll just see these different people, you know, women and all that. Just, hey, oh, congratulations. Hey, I was thinking about you. I don't know you. Like, you know, it's just it's one of those types of things where I always tell people, man, don't get this thing and become successful at it and use it for all the wrong reasons. I can't stand it when I see a man or anybody who has success or who has fame and they use it for their own fleshly desires. Like, I can't stand when people do that because I feel like it's such a slap in God's face. Like, why would you take what God gave you and just doggone near corrupt it? You know, so I think about that, and I never want to be, I told myself, I'm never going to be that guy, and I never will, because that's a terrible look on that end of things. But as far as, like, when it comes to, and I most definitely have had those moments, I'll never forget, Carter High came out, and we did this thing where we went to sold out movie theaters, and Jesus, the amount of people that was surrounding all of us, shout out to my other cast members, Andre Dean, Robert Hayes, Lynn Andrews, Lamar Strait, Mac White. Love you guys like a brother to me. And anyway, so we'll be at the movie theater. We'll be at the movie theater, and we will literally just have a sea of people around us asking for autographs and wanting to take pictures. And then you got the ones who just want to hold a conversation with you because, you know, their daddy went to Carter High. Or, you know, they love Vivica Fox. What was it like working with Vivica? What's Pooch Hall like? Oh, my gosh. And it's literally like, it can be frustrating, especially when you're tired, especially when you're just coming back from a red carpet in Dallas and in Houston, especially when you're just coming back from a red carpet in L.A. Like, you're tired. You're tired and you are exhausted. But what keeps me going is always remembering, why did I get in this in the first place? And who am I and whose am I? So when I remember those things, I'm focused. I'm good. I don't care how tired I am. Girl, you want a picture? Come here. Hey, brother, you want to get an autograph? Come over here, homie. You know, hey, your kid wants to know something about acting. He wants to talk to me. She wants to talk to me. Hey, let's chop it up right quick. Follow me on social media. Let's keep in touch. You know, because I feel like, if anything, let's think about this. Jesus Christ was low-key a celebrity.
Low-key.
Like, just think about that. Like, just a second, think about that.
He was the most celebrity ever.
Exactly. So he was still able to love up on people the way he did and still heal people and perform miracles and still teach about God's word. Who am I as a Christian to not follow in his footsteps if being a Christian means being like Christ? So I keep those things in my mind, and I know it sounds so deep.
At least you got to, I said, not to mention Jesus was walking everywhere. And,
Come on now.
And had no place to sleep, you know, where, you know, that kind of thing. At least you flew from L.A. back home. You might be tired, but you wasn't walking from L.A. to Dallas.
Exactly.
So
yes, that's what I keep in mind.
That's good. No, that's really good. I actually wanted, there was a question I was talking to Lennis earlier about that I wanted to ask you, like, you know, just in Hollywood, like, I've heard actors talk about how sometimes, you know, when they're just going and going and going and acting, it's easy to lose touch with reality. The reality of themselves and also the reality of the world around them. And so, like, how to maintain being authentic and genuine to who Orlando is in the midst of portraying all these other people.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you all. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I always kept my integrity, right? And I always treated others right. But there was a very quick moment where I didn't lose myself, but I didn't have the strongest focus on who Orlando is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because of, and it happened so fast, y'all. You know, one minute I'm doing a couple of interviews, next minute, okay, boom, big red carpets. Okay, you got people like literally just throwing things in your head, gassing you up. You know what I'm saying? Like just legit gassing your head up. Oh, yeah, you need to do this. You need to have a publicist to do this. You need to do that. Oh, you need to promote here. Oh, you need to have these people sponsor you and endorse you. And before you know it, you, like, low-key, like, find yourself, I'm being honest, because it's a testimony. You low-key find yourself like, oh, you know what? I'm that dude. Yeah, you know what? I do need a publicist. Y'all should be promoted here. I do deserve to get more roles. And I'm laughing because I'm able to laugh at that me, because he is not me. And I realized it, and I just love. I love how God humbles the people that he loves. I love how he brings us back on track. And it'd be through the most painful, most just, I don't know how to describe it to you. It'd just be like the most crazy thing that happened, and it would bring you back to center. And you look around, and you see the same people that were gassing you up. They ain't there no more. You see the same celebrities that you were shaking hands with and exchanging numbers with. Y'all ain't talking no more. You realize that all that stuff is gone so quick. And then that's when it just dawns on you, you know what? That me, who I was, that wasn't even necessary to take it to that level, because when I'm realizing the same and everything, yeah, it's there, but it's not worth losing who you are for a temporary moment. Like, each project, you really just have a temporary moment of fame. And I love what Keke Palmer says. And Keke Palmer, she's an amazing person. I've gotten a chance to get to know her personally. She's amazing. I'll never forget, she said this one time on her Snapchat. She said, y'all, just finished doing this project, and I'm unemployed and I'm broke again. And she was like, let me tell you what I mean. She was like, you know, us actors, we do these projects, we perform it, it comes out of theater, and after that, we're unemployed again. So we got to keep on moving, we got to keep on working. And so with that same concept, I realized, man, you know, with the fame off of a project or off of you being here and knowing these people, it literally is just a moment. And before you know it, you're just a regular person again. So if you're always a regular person, you know what I'm saying, if you're a regular person after that, so that means you're a regular person, period. And that's what brought me down to earth, and I was like, you know what? We're going to switch this up. We're going to get back to who Orlando is. It doesn't matter who gasses who up, no matter how big a project is. I had a chance to experience it. Now I know better, and I do better, and I show better in that area for sure.
You know, I think that's a great way to describe that. Because I was thinking too, like, I've heard different things about, I guess, people kind of, like, I guess celebrity actors and actresses, they do kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like they get so good at portraying the characters that they play, that they kind of, they don't know how to distinguish between all of them. Does that make sense?
Yes. Are you talking about when they have to, like, detox from a character?
Yeah, because I'm thinking, yes. I've done a little research on myself, like, and you can tell me if this is true or not, if you know. But when an actor or an actress, they get a part, sometimes they spend, like, I've heard anywhere as little as 2 months and as much as a year studying what it was like to be the person that they're trying to portray. So,
yes.
Like, for instance, it's like, I forget who it was. I don't know if it was The Rock or if it was Idris Elba. It was somebody. They were like, they actually went to the place that this character lived, because they were playing in a movie based off of an actual person in history. So they spent like 6 months living in the geographical place that this person lived in, and it was like in Africa in a village somewhere in a jail cell or something.
That was Idris. for the Nelson Mandela movie. Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly who it was. And he said he spent some time like actually being a prisoner in that prison cell and living in the environment that he was living in, so that he could be culturally relatable to the character and kind of just get a sense from his own personal experience of what it was like to be him. And so it's like, if you do that for every character part that you get, like,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like the process of renewing your mind, like the Bible says to renew your mind and you know, renewing your thinking and stuff. It's like you're constantly renewing your thinking, even though it's for a temporary period of time. It's like, but that's a lot, you know?
It is. It is. Oh, my gosh. Can I say something on that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yo, that stuff is real. It is so real. Cuba Gooding Jr., I don't know if y'all heard him in an interview. He was playing O.J. Simpson. It took this guy at least 2 months or more to completely detox from that because it required him to go to a place that is so dark and so borderline crazy that he had to take time away. And it's so crazy because I can relate to that. I have played a plethora of characters in my life. I've never just been one type of character since I've acted. More specifically, when I got to Grambling, the toughest one for me was most definitely, as far as emotional goes, was the Emmett Till play.
Wow.
That Emmett Till play, oh, my God. God bless the show to sell out all the way from Monday through Friday. And it sold out so much that we had to extend it to Saturday and Sunday. And it still sold out those days. And I played Emmett Till.
Oh, wow.
My freshman year at Grambling, I played Emmett Till. And I will never forget it took me about 3 to 4 months to really get into him. I researched him. I looked up, history on him, and I had to see those ugly and terrible pictures of him beaten up.
Yeah.
And I had to watch the funeral services, what his mother was saying. I did deep research of Emmett Till for months. So imagine me doing that, and I performed every night from Monday through Sunday as this kid. And I got shot on stage every night. Every night I got shot on stage and beat up by white people that were, you know, portraying the white people that beat up and murdered Emmett Till. And every night I hear the same gunshot, the theater gunshot go off every night. And Emmett Till had a stuttering, he had a speech impediment. And so, you know, when he talked, he always stuttered. He always had a hard time talking. And he always talked with a light voice like that. So doing that every night, y'all. And then around that time, you know, people started wanting me more plays, so I had to just keep running it back. And I really didn't have the time to detox from all that until probably the summer of 2011. And it took me at least about 2 months to really just cool down from that, and I needed it. Because that role was so deep, y'all. It was so deep. I had his great-great cousins come to the show, and they told me, you look just like him. Yes, they said, you look just like him, and you sounded just like him, too. And I'm just like, wow.
Wow.
So
that's
it's
crazy.
Real, y'all.
Were you stuttering for the whole next 2 months after the show?
I did a little bit for sure. It happens. Like I did this play called Ruined, and I played an African salesman, and I was still like, I don't know why I was still talking African. Like 2 weeks later, I'd be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Ah, doggone it, get back." So, yeah, it's real, y'all.
No, I remember I used to, back in the day, I used to be a real hardcore Beyonce fan. You know, I had to really kind of cool down. But I remember she had a documentary where she talked about how, you know, everybody know when she's on a stage performing, she has this alter ego that she becomes, Sasha.
Yes.
And she talked about how after, at some point she kind of really lost herself in that character, in that persona, and she took a whole year off of touring, singing, performing to like get back to who Beyonce was.
Exactly.
And know, and to kind of get back in touch with reality. And so I think that, you know, that's important. You know, how often, you know, a person that's a professional actor, how often do you think it's necessary for them to take that time away to kind of get back to who they are and things to, that are familiar with themselves, to themselves?
I mean, I think you need to take as much time as you need. You need to don't rush it. If you know you got time and you got about 3 months before you got to do another production, take it and enjoy it and rest and be at peace, because your mind needs to be prepared for the next show. You mean a lot to the industry, of course, in this world.
Yeah. So I got a question, too. So outside of acting and screenwriting and all the things that make you great, what does Orlando enjoy doing in his spare time?
I'm just kidding. In my spare time, I love, and I know it's going to sound so cheesy. Y'all going to be like, boy, you don't hang up this phone. In my spare time, I love being at the church, and I love volunteering and leadership at the church, especially with Brick House, and just, and that's the young adult ministry, for those who are listening and don't know. That's the Brick House is a young adult ministry at the Pies House in Dallas. I just love being there. I love being at the creative meetings. I love just coming up with things with Pastor Green. And I really just love being at the church and just helping in any shape and form or way I can. And even outside of that, I like recording things of my own, because I know how to work the camera myself and even edit. So I do that in my spare time. I'm at the church. I'm volunteering. If I have a chance to catch like a community service event, I'm doing that. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm just relaxing. I'm just driving around downtown Fort Worth and just going to my special spot that I go to where I can see this really beautiful scenery of Fort Worth. I can't tell anybody, because it's a secret. But
yeah,
I just like to look at the...
You're popping up in your secret place.
Right. I'm going to have somebody being like, hey, Orlando, so I'm
here. I heard
you're
on Relationship Pursuit. I heard you be here.
You're right. I'm here. Let's chill together. No, but yeah, that's what I like to do. I love to just stare at God's work, and that sounds so cheesy. But I love just staring at God's work. And that's why I go to my little secret spot to just see all that landscape and that beautiful sky and the birds. Ah, it's amazing.
Yeah, we paid him to give that answer.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I said we paid him to give that answer. He's supposed to say he loves church. It's all in the
ching. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's good, though. You know, I think it keeps you well-rounded, you know. So.
Yes.
Well, we are reaching the end of the show here. So one of the last things that I wanted you to share, Orlando, is any upcoming projects that you have that you want our listeners to know about, any words of wisdom that you would give to any aspiring actors or actresses?
I'll say this, and I'll say it quick because I know we got to go. But so far, I do not have any upcoming projects so far. And as an actor, you always got to remember that anything can change at the drop of a dime. It just takes that one email from your agent, that one phone call, and everything would change. So for my actors and my actresses out there who are already in the industry, and you find yourself, you have a very good resume, you have a very good demo reel, you have an agency that you're signed with, and they are official and they are legit, and you're not getting a lot of projects, please stay encouraged. Please stay encouraged, because just as I said, at the drop of a dime, you can get that email from your agent, and you get a lead role, or you get that one audition, and you fly out and you nail it, and you get it. So you got to stay open, because it gets tough in this industry. Trust me, I know. I even be open with you all. I got an email from one of my agents, And they told me, they was like, Orlando, you came so close to getting a part for this feature film. And it was like, even here's a an attachment of the note that the producers sent to me to tell you. And the producers put, we almost picked Orlando. But it was a celebrity from L.A. They ended up getting it. And I was like, gosh darn it.
Right. Almost doesn't count.
It doesn't. But you know what?
I'm still not seeing the movie.
You know, right, right. But you know what I loved about it, all my actors and actresses, I love the fact that I know I'm in the building. I know that I can go toe-to-toe with a celebrity. I know I can go toe-to-toe with anybody of any race. And that is what keeps me going, is knowing who I am and whose I am, and knowing that I am more than good enough. I am excellent at this, and that's not being cocky. That's just being confident and knowing who God made
that's
you
good.
To be. And for my people who want to be actors and actresses and you're not yet, yo, take the classes, do small local projects, and build up your resume, then get a demo reel and eventually get an agency. But before you get into this thing, ask yourself, why do I want to do this? And if that is a logical and good explanation, then go for this with all your heart.
All right. That is good. I like that confident talk. It's not cocky. It is confident. I think that is great that you have that perspective of yourself and of what God has given you, that it doesn't matter who it is, how successful they are. If you got it, then you're just as good as they are. Now, I think that's perfect to encourage people with, not just for acting, but anything that they're doing. So we are out of time, you guys. Orlando, I really, really, really appreciate you taking out your time to be on the show and just chatting with us, just kicking it and encouraging people. I don't know who else is listening on the line, but I was encouraged by our discussion today. And if you could, stay on the line once we end. But we want to thank everybody that has listened in tonight. We want to thank you. We hope that you were encouraged, that you got some hope out of this conversation, that maybe God spoke to you in a way. And we just want to invite you all to come back and listen at the same time next Monday, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 Eastern Standard, and 6:30 Pacific Standard. Coach D, if you have anything, any last remarks that you want to make, you're free to do that.
Well, thank you. Great show. We want to thank the listening audience for tuning in to Relentless Pursuit. And feel free to tune in on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time for Woman to Woman. And then on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, we have Processing the Pain. So we thank you for tuning in, and we thank you for supporting MCD Networks. Know that you are loved and appreciated.
surrender.